We want to take a look here this afternoon in our consideration about the doctrine and the subject of headship. Our theme verse has been there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1 and 1 through 3. I'll read it to you here. Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And that, why is that? Because the ordinances speak of Christ. And he said there in verse number 1, to be followers of him as he follows Christ. Verse 3, but I'd have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so there is the headship, the doctrine of headship in the Scripture. Our consideration of the Scripture in Ephesians has brought us to the point that we needed to consider this, and we're taking a look at it not only from the standpoint of husband and wife, though there is that headship that is there and that is described here, but there's also those to which we submit in other aspects of life. And so we're just trying to want to take a look and try to consider the entire subject. This afternoon, we want to take a look at headship in our relationships, right? That's where we see it manifested, is in our relationships, headship in our relationships in regards to being a child. And it's interesting, there's much instruction that's given to those that would be over children, the parents of children, much instruction given to us because we're in the situation of needing it. I speak that now, I am a father and have my own children and have had them for a while now. Some of them have flown the coop and others are still in the coop and thankful for each and every one of them. But there's a lot of instruction to us about how to do that, but there is some instruction to the children themselves, okay? We can take the instruction that's given to parents, and the parents can, or the children can learn from that instruction that's there, but in this relationship of being a child, we're born into this world as babies, and then we grow and we become an infant, a toddler, a little person, a young person, a preteen, a teenager, on to adulthood. We go through those different parts of our young life. What is it that the Scripture says directly to children? Directly to children. And so I'm poking you in the mind a little bit. And what passages can you come up with about that? It's a different consideration. We take those passages that speak into the parents, and we draw those over to instruction to the children. But where are the passages that are speaking to just straight to children? I let you think about that. As it is in these relationships, in most of these relationships that witness and testify to our responsibility in the headship that we have, we've seen that there's always two that are involved. And so with the child, what would it be? With a child, you know, somebody like Joseph, where is it? Of course, and he's young. He's not mature. He is a very young, but he's heading that way. But who are the ones that are involved in his life? The two. Well, it's the Lord, right? Because the Lord's given some instruction to children, and just because I'm pointing out Joseph doesn't mean the rest of you are off the hook. But the other is the parents, right? Those are the two, and children have instruction from the Lord, and because of that instruction from the Lord, it instructs them about how to be towards their parents. And of course, parents are indeed over the children. This I found it interesting and considered about this word child, the word child, and how many times any form of the word child is used in the Scripture. You think about that. Think about the Scripture. Any form of the word child. Any form of the word child. How many times is that used in Scripture? There's like 31,000 verses in the Scripture. You know how many times that the word or some form of the word child, children is found? In the Old Testament, there's 1,500 verses. That's a chunk, isn't it? That's a chunk. 1,500 verses with 1,800 matches. So that means, in the case of the search that I did, that means that there's a total of 1,814 occasions where any form of the word child is used. 1,500 verses, there's a duplicity. Maybe it's mentioned or used two or three times, okay? In the New Testament, you got another 206 verses for a total of 1,700 verses and over 2,000 uses of some form of the word child. That's in the Scripture. Is the Lord interested in children? And with that word child, well, what's that word child mean? And take a word and consider that word child. What does it mean? What is it referring to? Well, it's most of the uses, or many of the uses in the Scripture, are talking to the posterity of man, aren't they? Those that come after. Right? Those that come after. It'll say in the Scripture that so-and-so had so many children, right? Or it says that the children of so-and-so were named thus, or there's a reference using the word child or children to that of nations, or a nation or nations, isn't there? Isn't that interesting how the Lord does it that way? The children of so-and-so. We think about Edom. We mentioned about Edom on Sunday mornings. You know, those are the descendants of Esau. And that's the way the Lord thinks about them, is Esau's children. Whose children are we very familiar with and have a desire for? Is it not the children of Israel? Yeah, yeah. That's the way the Lord thinks about them. They're Israel's children. They're His. And so I thought it interesting how the Lord uses the word child and how much it's used in the Scripture. You know what? Is it not with the use of the word child, children, or any form, other form that there might be, does it not reflect with the Lord a consideration of the future generation or generations? In the Scripture, doesn't the Lord have an outlook for the future? He does, doesn't He? You know, I've been convicted about that here in the last couple of years and studies that I've been blessed to be able to do about that, about family and about children and about how the Lord in the Scripture manifests a consideration for the future generations. I'm sorry to say, to my shame, I'm very short-sighted. But we need to be long-sighted like the Lord is. My faithfulness... Your faithfulness will affect our great-great-grandchildren. The Lord doesn't come back in the meantime. I just can't live life to myself. And I consider about my children, they're right there in front of me. Now I've been blessed to have a grandchild, and so now I've got, you know, been kind of roughed up about thinking about that. I didn't think about that before. I should have been. Maybe haven't thought about it now and then, but now it's very real. That little fellow's going to be watching. And the thing is, we need to be thinking about the generations even beyond him. The Lord does. And so I think that's manifest in his use of the word child. It's such prolific use of the word. Of this word child, or any forms of the word child, I think we can indeed say that the Lord's interested in the latest generation and the one to come. Amen? He is interested in children. Okay, what's the Scripture say to children? Well, have you thought of it? Exodus chapter 20. Let's take a look over there. I'm talking about passages that are speaking straight to children. Here's a few, maybe not all conclusive, but all encompassing. But here's a few. You're familiar with this, right? First commandment given on how we ought to behave towards one another, right? First four commandments are how we our attitude is to be, and our way of working and moving and operation. The first four commandments is between us and the Lord. But that next one, When the Lord starts talking to us about how we ought to be one with another, what's he say? Verse 12, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor them. Honor them. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Honor thy father and thy mother. Colossians chapter 3, what's the scripture say in verse 20? Here it's speaking to wives, speaking to husbands. Verse number 20 it comes and it says, children, obey your parents in most things. Is that what it says? It says all, doesn't it? Obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we saw honor over there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. We see obey here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. It says in all things, not in most, not in the biggest part, but obey. Now, let's go ahead and say it so we can say it and get it over with. Does the Lord want children to obey and follow in wickedness and sin? No. Might a child, especially a younger child, be bound and be in a situation in a family or in a home to where they may not have any choice because they're overpowered to obey in the wickedness that their parents might instruct them in? Those situations can't exist, can't they? I mean, when you're the little guy and you've got no power in comparison to somebody bigger, then there you are. But what is it that the Lord wants? Well, the Lord wants parents to do well by their children. Amen?
Right.
And the Lord wants and desires, and this is what Brother Ron, he mentioned about the Lord's will of complacency. What the Lord desires is that children obey their parents and all good things. Okay? So, yeah, find a circumstance, a situation that's out of whack. Sure, we can. But the design is that parents are to do well by their children. The Lord said, he said some pretty tough stuff about children offended, didn't he? He did. It involved millstones, deep water, stuff like that, right? Yeah, so, I mean, he was pretty particular about how children ought to be dealt with and in that. But children are to obey. You know, this is the theme of what we find in the Scripture. There's not other instruction directly towards children other than this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We come back to the book that brought us to a consideration of this subject. Let's pick it up here. Let's see how this passage expands on this. And shows us some things, or maybe even takes and from what we've read before in Exodus 20 and Colossians 3, and even brings some things together. Look here at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, there's the qualifier about obeying to right things. Now, a child grows up. Say a boy grows up to be a man and leaves his father and his mother, establishes his own home. We're going to see how it should be in that. But if his father wants him to do or pursue some kind of wickedness, he should not follow that, should he? Not at all. But obey. Obey in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And then it goes on to say, We saw honor in Exodus chapter 20, right? We saw obey in Colossians chapter 3. And now here this passage, Ephesians 6, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So obey their instruction, what they bid to do, what they say to do, obey that. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it puts an emphasis on what it said over there in Exodus chapter 3, or Exodus chapter 20, that there's a promise of long days for the one that will honor their parents. We'll try to take a look and see about what that is. It goes on to say that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's more than to obey, isn't it? The Lord instructs that there's more to be done by children than obey. But they are to honor, we are to honor our parents. What's it mean to honor? What's it mean to honor someone? Well, the definition of this word is to prize, to fix a valuation upon, to revere. It's the same thing as saying, children, value your parents. Value them. Don't think that they are of no value. Don't brush them off or push them, but value them. They're of value. What's the Lord say here in Mark chapter 7? Let's take a look. He explains some about this. In Mark chapter 7. So obey them. We understand that. Are you in your parents' household? Do you obey your parents? If your parents don't instruct you in anything wicked or evil to do, you need to obey them. Not backtalk them, not sass them, not slap at them, not hit them. Never good to let a child hit a parent. Never good. Now, it's roughhousing and carrying on and things like that, yeah, but not a... When there's instruction from a parent, it needs to be straight and direct, and that's the way it is, okay? Because the thing is a child beating up on a parent maybe when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, when they get 16, and if you have one that turns out to be bigger than you, you may end up with a bad situation on your hands. The parents need to be honored. What parents say needs to go. And not only obeyed, but honored. Let's take a look at this thing about honor. Look what the Lord says here in Mark chapter 7. Let's pick it up in verse number 6. Well, let's back up to verse 1. Forgive me. Then came together unto him, that is Jesus, the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Listen, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There's an honoring that can be done with the mouth. And for a child, it would do well for you to get that part done. But you know what's better? It's the honor from the heart. Now, there is a thing that honor has to be earned. I understand that. But nevertheless, this instruction comes from the Lord, and the parents that have been given unto us are the parents that God gave us. And as long as they instruct us right, we need to obey that, and we need to always honor them as their parents. Say you've got a parent that is just wicked. Well, they're still your parent. They're still your parent. And they may have activity and pursue activity that's just flat self-destructive, but they are still your parent. And they need to be honored as such. Listen to what he says here. He says, howbeit in verse 7, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, such like things do ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So he jumps on one particular thing here. He says it is relative to honor. And he says, what you do is you take the tradition of men, and with this thing about your parents, you instruct others and you support others in the thing that the care of the parents in their old age falls on your responsibility. And you say, no, what I would have used money-wise to take care of my parents, I've dedicated it to the temple. Therefore, I'm off the hook. A tradition of men is used to avoid the commandment of God. Now, hear that again. A tradition of man is used to bypass and to forbear the commandment of God. Listen, it wasn't a suggestion for us to honor our parents. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. My mom and dad, they live up in southern Ohio, and they've been blessed to live there together and be of health to where they can take care of themselves. But you know what? If it ever comes to a time, and I'm an only child, but if it ever comes to a time that they can't take care of themselves, you know whose responsibility it is? It's not the state's. It's mine. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to take care of them. Because see, if I am able, and I take and I defer what I'm able to do, I am not honoring my parents. If I am able to do a thing, physically, financially, but I defer because of some reason, this reason, that reason, some justification that I can come up with, and I defer what I can do, I am not honoring my parents. That's the way it is with all of us here. Let's go ahead and read another scripture here in Titus. Titus chapter 1. It's somewhat relative to this. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 5, verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. It wasn't the verse that I was thinking about. We're going to get to that verse. Hold that one in store and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Forgive me. I should have had that order different. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to first show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Brother Jim, what are you talking about there? How does that fit with this thing of honoring parents? It's right there. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And there's instruction here later on in this, and we're not dealing with the situation about a widow, but there's instruction here about a widow that would be taken in by the church and supported and provided for by the church. But if there's children, or if there's a nephew, it falls on them first. And what's it say? Let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. We don't use that word requite much, but it's what it's talking about. The word requite is talking about paying back. Yeah, even if it's your aunt, to take care and pay back for what your parents did for you. I don't know if I'll have any aunts that that'll fall on my care, but if they would, for the sake of my parents, I'm to take care of them. Because if I don't honor them and I don't honor my parents. Amen? That's right. So, you that are here and children, maybe you're children that are in a home. Do you obey your parents? You should. Because the Lord has given you directive and command to obey your parents. It comes from the Lord. You that are here and children in a household, the household of your parents, do you honor your parents? You should. And then we that are older, and that have living parents, do we honor our parents? We should. We should. And are we willing to give of our own lives to take care of our parents? The Lord expects us to. We that are adult children should have consideration for our parents. Amen? That's right. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's straight from the Lord. So obedience and honor. Don't come up with an excuse. Don't call it Corban and say, well, because I prefer not to, I've got this excuse, that excuse, or the other. Tell you what, where the dividing line and where the Lord will meet it out is what we're capable of. What we have ability to do. And may the Lord help us in that. We read there in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, given qualifications for a man that would be a pastor of one of the Lord's churches, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. That's the way it should be with children. Children should be obedient. And not look to sow wild oats, but should be found obedient to their parents and not be guilty or accused of riot or unruly. Not even that the accusation could be laid there. Sure, people can lie, but the Scripture's not talking about lies, is it? It's talking about things being true. And we should be obedient. Children in a household, I don't care how old you are living in your parents' house, you should not bring shame to that house. And to your parents. There shouldn't even be an accusation of being riotous or unruly. Obedience and honor. Hearken to your parents. Right? Right, Aaron? Hearken, right? Hear it and obey it. Now that word hearken, it's talking about two things. Receiving it and putting it to use. Hearken. Hearken to your parents. Obey them. Honor them. In Proverbs, we just take a skip through here. There are some scriptures here directed at children. I didn't bother looking up the scriptures, and maybe you've thought of them. I hope that you did. Different ones that you've read about Solomon and pleading his son, right? My son this, my son that. That's in there, and those are direct commands to children. Here, I've just taken a look, and you can go to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll just take a look at these quickly. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So I don't have a father. You got a mother? You got parents? Hear, children. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it that God has given children parents. There's a reason for it. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse number 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. What did the Scripture say? Obey Him in the Lord. Obey Him in the Lord. Honor Him in the Lord. You know, there's a lot to be said. You know, you've heard me say it before. You've said it, and you know it's true. You know, character and integrity and things that we teach our children, they're not taught, but they're caught. Our treatment of our own parents speaks volumes to our children about how they ought to be. Amen? Yeah, yeah. That's the one that really speaks. And so, how do you want to be treated when you need help from your children? Well, treat your parents that way to show your children the way it ought to be. Amen? Yeah. 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 Depart not from the words of my mouth. Chapter 7, verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Solomon says, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, Solomon says. Here speaking about wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse number 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Do you and I believe the Lord when he gives the fifth commandment and he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long upon the earth? Do we believe him? We need to. We need to. Because it comes straight from the Lord. Why is it that the Lord has given parents to children? Well, Brother Jim, that's kind of obvious. The children can't take care of themselves. Yeah, I know. I understand that. But why is it that it is, and for us in our thinking, it's impossible for it to be any other way. But why is it that a child comes into the world, and of course they need that tender care when they're an infant, they're just a baby, they can't do a thing for themselves. But then as they get older and they begin to exercise their will and their desire and their personality starts showing up and things like that, why is it that the Lord's designed it for them to be an authority over them? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's why. And that authority is there to curb them and direct them and to keep them, that they might learn about living in life, and that they might learn about authority and responsibility. They might learn about obedience and honor. Because you know what? If a child is left to himself, the Scripture says, he'll bring his mother to shame. And the dad won't be too far behind that. But if a child never learns to submit to the authority of the parents, from the human standpoint, what chance do they stand to submit to the authority of God Almighty? That's the reason that that's there. That's the reason that the design is the way that it is. So that we might, again, from the human standpoint, with the instruction of the Lord from His Word, take them and instruct them and direct them to let them know that even though they grow up and they leave our house, they're always responsible to God. Always. Always and forever. That authority that we have and that responsibility and that authority that we have and exercise over them, what it is it typifies the real issue in their life is that they're responsible before God. Look here in Proverbs chapter 15. Two more passages, and let's consider these and we'll close. Proverbs 15, verse number 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. Death, the grave, and the destruction and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? He knows what's going on in the hearts of the children of men, doesn't he? And it's interesting it says it that way. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then are the hearts of the children of men? Proverbs 20. Keep that verse in mind. Verse 11. Even a child, Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Parents, may God help us that we not raise children that are bent towards self and towards being wild and of no discipline and of no character, of no integrity. May the Lord help us that we instruct and raise our children in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. That we curb them and we not allow what's just natural to come out of them, but with the Word of God that we may instruct them and teach them and guide them, that in time and in one day it will be just them and the Lord. And that they might understand by the authority that is there in our household, the responsibility that we have over them as they grow up, that is indicative, that's telling, that's typical, that's a showing and a type of the true responsibility that they have before their Creator. Because hell and destruction are before the Lord, and so is the hearts of the children of men. And do we want a situation in our households that our child is known by their wicked doings? A child left to themselves. A child left to themselves will destroy themselves. They can't help but get over there on the parents. Children, understand there is a headship over you. And it's your parents. Until you leave the household of your parents, you're under that headship and you're instructed to do well and be under that headship, especially in obedience, while you're in that household until the day that you go and establish your own household. But there's always honor to be there for your parents. And that's of God. It's not the pastor's suggestion. It's not just the stand of our church. But that is from God. That is from God. If a child does not submit to the headship and authority of his parents, that he may never understand his responsibility before the Lord his Creator. All right, we'll continue and take a look at another of these relationships and headship points as we continue this consideration. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. The Lord Jesus Christ came and lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again so that sinners like you can have forgiveness of their sins and everlasting life. Trust in Him. Repent of your sins and believe in Him. His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive Him just as He comes. No ifs, ands, or buts, but just as He comes. Believe it. Trust in it.